It's good to see you this evening. It's good to be able to come back on the Lord's Day to worship God, and I appreciate your presence. We have those visiting with us this evening, and Ross gets the visitation award all the way from Seattle, Washington area, so he's the farthest visitor tonight. We're glad to have him with us, and those who are home for college, we're glad that you're here, and we can spend some time with our children, and I know the parents always appreciate that. Of course, we've been reading in the book of Proverbs. We're very familiar with a lot of those things. I would say that probably one of the most familiar chapters in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 31, the worthy woman. But this evening, we're not going to talk about the worthy woman. We're going to talk about the worthy man. So if you'll turn with me this evening to Job chapter 31. If Proverbs 31 is the worthy woman, Job chapter 31 is the worthy man. And that's what we want to look at this evening. And when we look at the worthy woman of Proverbs 31, we're looking at great spiritual qualities in that woman. She's not known for her materialism or material kinds of things. She's known for her inner spiritual qualities. And when we look this evening at the worthy man, we're going to be seeing the same kind of thing. The inner spiritual qualities of a man named Job. So if you can remember, Proverbs 31, the companion passage is Job 31. To set up the material this evening, go back two chapters to Job chapter 29. We're coming down toward the end of the book of Job, and Job's friends have been saying over and over again that his suffering is due to the large amount of sin that he's been committing in his life. They were not aware of Satan and those kinds of things at the beginning of the book. They just thought he was suffering because of his sin. And Job makes one last speech here in Job 29, 30, and 31. And it's basically a speech where he is recalling the righteous character that he's had all throughout his life. And he defends his integrity and his character and his righteousness. And it's in the context of that, in chapter 31, that we're going to see that he really is the worthy man. If you look at chapter 31, we're going to be noticing this evening a number of things that Job said that he would not do. He would not be these things. And if you'll notice in chapter 29, it's the opposite or the flip side, the other side of the coin. In chapter 29, he has been stating all of the things that he wants to be and he wants to do. For example, in chapter 29, in verse 1 and 2, "Oh, that I were in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shined upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. I was in the ripeness of my days when the friendship of God was upon my tent." And he goes on to talk about different things that he did for other people. For example, jump down to verse 14. "I put on righteousness and it clothed me." Verse 15, "I was eyes to the blind." Verse 16, "I was father to the needy." All these different things that he was willing to do to help others. Look at verse 24. "I smiled on them when they had no confidence." He was an encourager. Verse 25. "I chose out their way and sat as chief," and so forth. He was stating all of the positive things that he did for others. All the righteous and good things that he did for others. In chapter 30, he wants to know why God has left him, and then come with me now to chapter 31. When we look at Job chapter 31, we're going to be looking at the worthy man. And I want us to think this evening, men, we need to be this. Young men, I want to encourage you to be these things. But even the ladies here this evening can think about, this is the kind of man I want to be with. This is the kind of husband I want. This is the kind of man that is right in the eyes of God. And so I think that there is something here for all of us this evening. When you look at chapter 31, Job is protesting his integrity. His three friends have been saying, "You're a sinful person." And Job is saying, "No, that's not the case. I have not lived a sinful life." And we had a lesson a few weeks back from one of the Psalms entitled, "I Will Walk in My Integrity." Integrity comes up again this evening in tonight's lesson in verse 6, that God may know my integrity. This is the inner character and the inner quality where our life and our character is governed by God's Word, and it will not move. It will not change. Integrity is that which is fixed and set. And regardless of the outward circumstances that come along, I am going to be the person that God wants me to be. And so he's going to protest and defend his integrity. We're also going to notice this evening in chapter 31 that what Job talks about are actions that involve both private and public situations and both inward and outward actions. Private situations, how he might be feeling in his own personal life. And then maybe public situations, how he's going to deal with his servants or other people in town. We're going to find this evening that he's going to talk about inward attitudes and also outward actions. Everything in his life, inward and outward, public and private, is controlled by God and his word. If you look at the end of the chapter, at the end of verse 40, the words of Job are ended. And so the last thing that Job wants to say, now his friend Elihu is going to take up his cycle of speeches and God will come to him and then the book closes. But the last thing Job wants to say is, look, I have lived a righteous life. Now this chapter is not Job being proud. It's not Job being arrogant. It's not Job being boastful. It's describing the qualities of the worthy man. And I want to see us in it at each step of the way. We live in a world where integrity is being lost. And there's more and more ungodliness and unrighteousness. And our young men are being told by society not to live this way, but to live any way they want. And I want us to be reminded this evening of what it means to be the worthy man. Integrity comes up at the beginning of the book. You may recall back in chapter 2 and verse 3 that God even brings up Job and his integrity. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that fears God and turns away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity. So even if suffering comes along or other kinds of problems at work or other places, we still hold fast our integrity. And that was the very thing, if you'll come down with me to chapter 2 and verse 9, that's the very thing that his wife challenges him with. Do you still hold fast your integrity? Renounce God and die. That person who should be a helpmeet, that person who should be helping us get to heaven and get closer to God, she was the very one that was taking Job away. Do you still hold fast your integrity? And then if you'll look with me at chapter 27, verse 5, Job, in one of his final statements, far be it from me that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not put away mine integrity from me. That was something that was very dear to himself. And so what we're going to find this evening is what it means to be the worthy man. We need to remind ourselves before looking at the details that Job lived during the patriarchal period and he was under God's law. God had law from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve on down. Even before the law of Moses, God had law with the patriarchs. And you'll notice five times in this chapter where Job brings up God. This is very important. We're going to see God a lot. Job knew that God was in his life. We're going to read statements this evening that God will hold me accountable. God sees me. God knows what I'm doing. God is going to hold me accountable. Job realized that he was under God's law. To be the worthy man, we need to understand that God is present in our life each and every day. And we're going to be held accountable to him. One thing that Job is known for is his patience. And we preach and teach a lot on the book of Job and how that he was patient all the way to the end. James chapter 5 and verse 11. But this evening I want us to remember that he's known for much more. He's known for much more than just someone who suffers and is patient. He is a righteous man. And when Ezekiel brings up Job and Daniel and Noah, he talks about the righteousness of these men. And that's what we want to focus on this evening. The very first verse of this book opens up with the inward character of Job. He was perfect and upright, one that feared God and turned away from evil. Turned away from evil. And we're going to see what that was this evening. What kind of evil did he turn away from? What does it mean to be the worthy man? We're going to find this evening, and young men, understand that it's not about what you own, the clothes that you're wearing, and the car, the fast car. I want a fast car. I want a lot of money. I want certain clothes. I want a certain kind of cell phone. The worthy man is the inward character. There's a place for a car and a phone and those kinds of things. But that's not what makes me who I am as a man. It's turning away from evil. And that's what we want to see this evening. We're going to notice in tonight's lesson that Job says several times, if I have done this, then let such and such happen. That's a phrase that comes from the patriarchs. It comes from, we don't speak like that today, but these Bible characters spoke at this time like this, and it's a way of showing their accountability to God. If I have done such and such, then let such and such happen. That is a statement that says, I believe that God is, and He's going to hold me accountable. And so I want to live right in His sight. Let's come now to the chapter and let's see what made Job the worthy man. Let's read verses 1 through 4 together. I made a covenant with my eyes. How then should I look upon a virgin? For what is the portion from God above and the heritage from the Almighty on high? Is it not calamity to the unrighteous? And disaster to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and number all my steps? The worthy man is the man who is going to be personally pure. He's not going to engage in the lust of the eye. Verse 1 is talking about the lust of the eye. It's talking about, Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes and I'm not going to look upon a young girl in a way that it involves sexual temptation and the lust of the eye. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to a place where I could see something like that. I'm not going to get into a situation where I'm looking at something like that. I'm just not going to do that. The worthy man is sexually pure and guards his eyes. The covenant that he's making is not to look at a young woman in a certain way, a lustful way. And in verse 2, the word portion and heritage is talking about judgment that would come from God if I did that. What would that be? Verse 3, if I were to look in a lustful way, I would be unrighteous. And I would have engaged in iniquity. God numbers my ways. He numbers my steps. He sees all my ways. He knows that I'm looking that way. And I'm not going to do it. Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, looking upon a woman to lust. He's committed adultery already in his heart. So we have to guard, men. We have to guard our eyes. Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, those whose eyes are full of adultery. Adultery is a sexual act, but it begins with the eyes. So the eyes that are full of adultery. So let us guard our eyes. We live in a culture today that is so much about the flesh, fleshly things, and exposing the flesh. And females and women and girls are encouraged to expose themselves and show themselves in lustful kinds of ways. And let's look at that. And Job says, I made a covenant. I'm not going to do that. Let's do the same this evening. Let's make that same covenant, that same promise not to do that. And of course, today we could talk about how that is so prevalent on the internet and other places. And we have to avoid that. The worthy man is the man who engages in personal purity, not lust. Let's read verse 5. Verse 5 and 6. If I have walked with falsehood, and my feet has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed and even balanced, that God may know my integrity. Notice again the word God, the name God, the person of God is used here. Job knows that God is watching. And I'm not going to engage in any falsehood. The worthy man is the man of truth and honesty. Never falsehood, never deception, never fraud, never dishonesty. I'm always going to be truthful and upright. And even if it hurts me, I'm going to do that. The worthy man is the man of truth. We're going to be put into situations from time to time, maybe at work and school and other places where we might want to cheat or we might want to take something that doesn't belong to us and we might want to defraud somebody. We might want to deceive somebody in some kind of way. We've got to stay away from that. People get ahead that way. That's how people get ahead. But we're not going to have any part of that. People at work get ahead by being deceitful and dishonest and fraudulent. Companies get ahead that way, and workers get ahead that way. Politicians get ahead that way. Others get ahead that way. And it's wrong. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, to put away all falsehood and speak truth one with another. We're not going to bend the truth. We're not going to tell little white lies. We're not going to try to fudge the truth. We're just going to stay away from those kinds of things. That's not a part of our life. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 to put away all guile. All guile. Where we're trying to trick someone or fool someone in a nefarious kind of way to hurt them in some way or to get us ahead in some kind of way. We're just not going to do that. We're going to be honest and upright. And even in those situations where we have the expression, the truth hurts, even when it hurts us, we're going to be on the side of truth. The worthy man is the man of truth and honesty. Let's read verse 7. If my step, talking about his daily living, if my step has turned out of the way, that's the way of God, and my heart walked after my eyes, and if any spot has cleaved to my hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let the produce of my field be rooted out. We find here that the worthy man is the man who is willing to follow God's way only, never his own self-willed way. I don't want to walk in such a way that my feet are turning out of the way. I don't want to walk after my own eyes. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, Jeremiah says. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord and lean not upon your own understanding. The worthy man is the man who's guided by the Word of God. That's why we stress daily Bible reading and following my Bible and reading my Bible. That's my guide. That's my manual. Not what I think and feel. Not what society says. Not what my buddies pressure me to do. I'm going to be a person who is guided by God's way and never by my own self-will. I have a standard. It's the New Testament. I have a spiritual compass, it's the New Testament. I have a guide. I have a manual. I have a law. I have a book. I have a set of rules. And I'm going to follow that. And today it may not be popular. A lot of people poke fun at the Bible. A lot of people disparage the Bible and put down the Word of God. But the worthy man is going to have that as his guide alone. Look with me at verse 9. If my heart has been enticed unto a woman. Remember, Job was married. Remember that? He was married with children at the beginning of the book. Job is a married man. So take that into account as we read these next few verses. If my heart has been enticed unto a woman, and I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, in other words, for her, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For that were a heinous crime, yea, it were an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumes unto destruction and would root out all my increase. The worthy man is the man of marital fidelity, not adultery. And today it's portrayed as, well, you know, you're having a midlife crisis, you know, go do this. You're having a hard time, you're having a midlife crisis, you're going through some problems. Go do this and it'll relieve all the stresses and strains of life. The worthy man is going to be faithful to his wife. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. Proverbs 6:32. Adultery in both Old and New Testament is a sin. And we need to stay away from it. It's popular today. It's promoted today. It's popularized in music and movies and TV and other kinds of things. But we need to stay away from it. He that commits adultery with a woman is void of understanding. We're not thinking right. We're not thinking the way God wants us to think. He is void of understanding. He does it. He who does it would destroy his own soul. In Romans 13 and verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery is repeated. One of the Ten Commandments is repeated in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the marriage bed is to be kept undefiled for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And there's a pressure on men to go out and be unfaithful. There's a pressure in society to go do that. And the co-workers push you to do it. And the co-workers talk about it. And it's everywhere. And it's almost commonplace in some quarters. But we're going to stay away from that. We're not going to engage in it. The worthy man is faithful to his wife. Turn with me to Job 31 and verse 13. Let's see what it means to be a worthy man. If I have despised the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up? Always, God, He's always bringing up God. God knows, God sees, God is going to hold me accountable. And when He visits, what shall I answer Him? Did not He that made me in the womb make Him? His Job's servant, this was in the days when Men and women had servants. Did not He that made me in the womb make him? That's quite remarkable for this period of time in the Old Testament, if you stop and think about it. That understanding of being formed in the womb. And did not one fashion us in the womb? The worthy man is the man who will always engage in social justice. He will always treat the other person right. Never injustice, never any kind of inhumane treatment, never any kind of treatment where if I have power over you, which the master did over the slave, that gives me a right to verbally abuse you and physically mistreat you. The worthy man is never going to do that. And you know that Christians were doing that. If you turn with me to the book of James, we might be thinking, well, you know, brethren would never do that. Well, let's remind ourselves of the book of James. In James chapter 5 and verse 1, "Come now, you rich, and weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are rusted, and the rust shall be a testimony against you. And you shall eat your flesh as fire. You have laid up your treasure in the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who mowed your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cries out, and the cries of them that reap have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." They wouldn't pay their workers. Why? Well, verse 5, they're too busy living delicately on the earth, and so forth. The worthy man will treat others in the right kind of way. Look at verse 16. Let's read verses 16 down through verse 23. "If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof, no, from my youth he grew up with me as with a father, and her have I guided from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or that the needy had no covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he hath not been warned with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless because I saw my help in the gate, then let my shoulder fall from the shoulder blade and mine arm be broken from the bone. For calamity from God is a terror to me, and by reason of his majesty I can do nothing." The worthy man is the man who's generous and mindful of the needy around him. He's not like the priest and the Levite that just walk by on the other side, uncaring and unconcerned. There are going to be those around us, brethren, that are needy from time to time. And so verse 16, he talks about the poor. In verse 17, he talks about the orphan. He talks about those who are in need of clothing and things like that. And the worthy man is the man who is generous and understanding and caring and concerned, never selfish, never indifferent, never unconcerned. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. There's a list of a number of terrible sins there of the Gentile world of Paul's day. And you read some of those things and you think, well, you know, I would never engage in these kinds of things. For example, murder is mentioned in Romans 1:29, and hateful to God, well, you know, verse 30, I would never be that. But look at this. In verse 31, without natural affection, unmerciful. Unmerciful. I'm just not touched by the needs around me. I'm just calloused and hardened. Unmerciful is just as much a sin as murder. But Job said, I'm going to be mindful of those around me. And I always took care of them when I could. As the opportunity presented itself, I showed care and concern. Look at verse 24. If I have made gold my hope, and have said to find gold, thou art my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much. The worthy man is the man who trusts in God, not in materialism or greed or avarice. It's not about his money. And Job was well off. At the beginning of the book, we read about all the kinds of things that Job had. He was well off, but his trust was in God. Gold was not his hope. The worthy man is the spiritually minded man, not the materially minded man. We have to have material things to function in life. And God knows that. But we don't trust in those things. We don't put our priority in those things. We don't let those things become more important than being a Christian and our church services and the spiritual things that we're supposed to be doing. Those material things are always going to be secondary, never primary. That's what the worthy man is. You see today, so much talk about money and material things and what people own and have. And you have to have the newest of this and the best of that. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, covetousness can be just as much idolatry as anything. And the love of money can be a root of all kinds of evil. But the worthy man is not going to do that. He's going to trust in God, and that's where his priority is going to be. Look at verse 26. If I have beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart, notice the inner man is not just outward activities, but also the inner attitude of a worthy man is controlled. And my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judges, for I should have denied the God that is above. He's talking about false worship. He's talking about worshiping the moon and the stars and the sun. And this was done at this time. We read in Bible times where people would worship the host of heaven. The worthy man engages in true worship, never idolatry, never false worship. It's always going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He is never going to engage in any kind of idolatry. John says, flee idolatry. 1 John 5:21. My worship is always going to be based upon the truth of God's word, and I'm going to worship the one true God. Never anything else. Look at verse 29. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, yea, I have not suffered my mouth to sin by asking his life with a curse. The worthy man is the man that loves his enemy, never engages in revenge or vindictiveness, and that is difficult to do. Someone does you wrong, you want to get them back. In fact, our society preaches and teaches that in many kinds of ways. Somebody does you wrong, you get them back. Someone cuts you off in traffic, you cut them off. Someone yells at you, you yell at them, and so forth. And he's saying here that I've never rejoiced at the destruction of him that hates me. I don't want to see anyone around me hurt, even my enemies. I'm not going to secretly say inside, I hope somebody gets hurt. I'm not going to engage, Job says, in any kind of thing like that. Or lifted up myself when evil found him. I don't rejoice in his downfall. Jesus said to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Paul said in Romans 12, to leave place for the wrath of God. We're not going to engage in any kind of vengeance or revenge. The worthy man loves his enemies, never vengeance. Look with me at verse 31. If the men of my tent have not said, who can find one that hath not been filled with his meat? Tell me the person that ever said they were hungry and Job didn't give them something to eat. Find that person. You're just not going to find that person. Job was busy. He had servants. He probably did farming, things that are out in the field. We're going to learn about his field here in just a minute. Very busy man. Very wealthy man. But he wasn't so consumed with his life and his family and his work and his this that people were neglected who were in need. So when people needed help, he was there to fill them with his meat. Verse 32, the sojourner has not lodged in the street, but I have opened my doors to the traveler. The worthy man is the one who has love for strangers. He's never engaged in any kind of inhospitality, turning people away. You're not welcome here. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 that let the love of strangers continue. So someone who's generous and kind and opening up of their home and sharing their possessions with others. God has blessed me with income, and can I share some of that with you? God has blessed me with a home, and God has blessed me with food and other kinds of things. Can I share that with somebody else? That's the worthy man. Look at verse 33. If like Adam, and there is a debate here as to whether Job is talking about the actual man, Adam, as in Adam and Eve, or the Hebrew word mankind. I believe he's talking about Adam, the man, in Genesis 2 and 3, because he talks about trying to cover or hide his transgressions. If, like Adam, I have covered my transgressions, this is Adam and Eve after they sinned, hiding in the Garden of Eden, and then later blaming someone else. If I've been like that, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom because I feared the great multitude and the contempt of families terrified me, so that I kept silence and went not out the door, oh, that I had one to hear me. Lo, here is my signature, let the Almighty answer me, and that I had the indictment which mine adversary has written. Surely I would carry it upon my shoulder, I would bind it upon me, I would bind it unto me as a crown. I am willing to be open and let everybody see any sin that I've committed. The worthy man is the man who is openly honest about any wrongdoing that he's done. Not trying to hide guilt, not trying to blame others, hiding my iniquity, verse 33, because I fear what somebody might say, verse 34. I'm just going to be open. And notice, by the way, in verse 33, Job says, if like Adam I have covered my transgressions. He admits that he sins from time to time. Job is not sinless. Job is not saying in chapter 31, I've never sinned in my whole life. That's not what he's saying. When he does sin, verse 31, he's willing, verse 32, he's willing to confess that. Verse 33, I'll get it right in a minute. He's willing to confess that and be open about that. And that's the way we need to be. We don't need to try to cover our sin, Proverbs 28:13. We just need to confess that, James 5:16. The worthy man is willing to be open about that. And then finally, look at verse 37. I would declare unto him the number of my steps, as a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cries out against me, and if the furrows thereof weep together, if I have eaten the fruit thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley, the words of Job are ended. One last thing. The worthy man is the man of fairness. Never oppression, never exploitation. He's not going to exploit people who are working for him or people that he has business dealings with. He's going to be honest with everyone. And so Romans 12:17. Live honestly in the sight of all. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, those things which are honest and pure and right and just. Today, it's often about stepping on the little guy in order to advance myself in some kind of way. Exploiting someone, oppressing someone, stepping on someone so that I can advance myself in some kind of way. And Job is not going to do that. So this evening, we're very familiar with the worthy woman of Proverbs 31. Now we're familiar with the worthy man of Job 31. Are you that worthy man? Am I that worthy man? Let's go out and be that in our life. Young ladies, look for that kind of man to date and to marry. Men, young and old, be that kind of man in a society that is going a completely different direction from what we looked at this evening. Be that worthy man. You may be here this evening. You might need to begin that journey by coming to Christ, knowing that God sees all. He knows our steps. He sees all that we're doing, verse 4. Knowing that, if we need to have our sins washed away in baptism, we can do that. If you need to come back in some kind of way, we can encourage you to do that. But let's go out and be people of integrity this week. What a great example in the book of Job. You know, so many people today are looking for heroes. Heroes are not found on the movie screen. Heroes are not found on TV programs. Heroes are found on the pages of Scripture. And what a great example we have found this evening. If we can help you in some kind of way, if we can encourage you in some kind of way, we would encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song of invitation.